And I thank the Lord for the Aldriches, what they've meant to me. And I know that it's not just me, but I know that several of you as well have valued, have benefited from their ministry. I know Brother Jerry, Miss Naomi are longtime friends of the Aldriches as well as others of you. And I thank God for His investment in my life. I was thinking about that just the other day. Now, of course, many of you can probably recite my testimony back to me. January the 23rd, 1994, I found myself at the Calvary Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. And I think it was started about, was it 1985, around there, 1982. So they'd been there for a few years by the time that I got there. And thankfully, after I was there and left, they still exist. Amen. But they've just been good friends to me, both as missionaries, when we were missionaries to Jamaica. And then Brother Aldrich has always been someone that's prayed for me. Almost every time I see him, and I see him on regular occasions, he'll say, "I want you to know I'm praying for you. I pray for you almost every day." And thank the Lord for that. That's worth its weight in gold right there. Yeah. How many years in the ministry have you been? 55 years in the ministry, and they've been used of God to start churches and to train young people as well. He's been an instructor in Bible college, but he's also he's really invested in people in his local church and young men, and I'm one of those young men that he invested in. Well, Brother Aldrich asked me this morning, he's going to preach out of Romans 16. So if you'll take your Bibles this morning, turn to Romans 16 with me. We'll be in the same passage for church time as well, so we'll be reading out of Romans 16. We're going to read the first 20 verses here this morning. All right, verse number 1 of Romans 16, Paul writes, and he says, "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church which is at Cenchrea, that ye receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that ye assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of you. For she hath been a succourer of many and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the firstfruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Greet Amplius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Salute," I should have practiced this before. Good night. Are we in Chronicles here? What's up? "Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are of Aristobulus' household. Salute Herodian, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which are in the Lord. Salute Tryphena and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Persis, which labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Salute Asyncritus, oh my word, Phlegon, Hermas, Patrobus, Hermes, and the brethren which are with them. Salute Philologus and Julia and Nerus and his sister." Now I see why you had somebody read this for you. Good night.
Well, you not
have it mispronounced. Yeah, thank you. "And Olympus and all the saints which are with them. Salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen." Brother Aldrich, please come.
How many of you recognize any of those names? Three. Notice, did any of them write any verses in Scripture? Why are they in the Bible? I'll tell you why. For the same reason I'm not preaching to Bible Baptist Church this morning or tonight. I'm not preaching to your family. I'm preaching to you as an individual. You see, the highest position in life is to be a servant of God. So, if you have realized you're a sinner and you've asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sin and be your personal Savior and give you a home in heaven, and you know right now you are one heartbeat out of heaven, I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you're not saved, stay where you're at. Look around. That's all of us, almost. Heavenly Father, you know our hearts. You know everything about us. Give us wisdom. Follow your leadership. Do what you tell us to do the first time you tell us. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, you need to listen fast in this Sunday school and preaching service this morning, because my Sunday school lesson's got at least 43 points to it. And I'll probably skip two or three of them. But I want you to know and realize that the highest point in life is to hear the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." And we're living in a time when people are confused. And if you don't think so, just watch the news a little bit. And if you don't realize what God has for you, notice none of these people, the Bible doesn't say any of them started a church. Doesn't say any of them were missionaries. What were they? Well, they were people who served God, and we don't even know what town they were in. All we know is their name, and he did not mispronounce one of those names. Every one of them was letter perfect. So what? I've read this. I'm in the process of I got macular degeneration in both eyes, so I can't read, but I can listen. And I've listened to the New Testament 5 times this year. And I'm seeing things in the New Testament that I never saw before. And if you'll read 10 chapters a day, you can read the New Testament in 28 days. And I'm here to tell you, it'll do something for you. The second thing, I read the book of Proverbs every month. The proverb that corresponds with the day of the month. And if you want to know why America is doing what she's doing, read the book of Proverbs. And realize this, and this is critical. How many servants of God in the Word of God didn't have some big flaws in their life? Outside of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the one who's 100% God and 100% man. And you say, how can that be? It's because God did it that way, that's why. And there's so many other things that just only God can do. Who was here before God? Nobody. Can I explain that? I just did. Amen? God. In the beginning, God. Why did he do it the way he did? When you get to heaven, ask him. But until then, we need to realize Bible Baptist Church, Sepulpa, Oklahoma, United States, around the world. The Bible says, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Well, that does not just mean missionaries. Part of the world is Sepulpa, Oklahoma. And part of the world is your next door neighbor. And part of the world are the kids that your kids go to and grandkids go to school with. And notice in your Bible what God, how God identified us. He calls us, he tells us to be a good soldier and a good servant. He did not call us to be successful business. He did not call us to be entertainers. He didn't call us to be a sports figure. He called us to be a servant. And he called us to be a soldier. And I'm here to tell you, if a soldier's worth his shooting, he knows how to shoot. Not just with a rifle, but he knows how to shoot with his life. So I would ask the question this morning, and the title of the message this morning is, which is most important, offense or defense? And you stop, and at first people say, well, offense. Well, what happens if you don't have any defense? Now, we watched a football game yesterday where the only thing I was interested in is I hope somebody from Oklahoma wins. And they did. And we saw offense and defense like I've never seen those two teams play before. So what? What does that compare to you sitting here as a saved person in Bible Baptist Church on a Sunday morning? What's that got to do with you? Well, you are the person that God would use to lead, to help, to instruct, to be a blessing for somebody right here in Sepulpa. Who do you dislike so much you hope they go to hell? Anybody? Well, when the Holy Spirit says, give them a track, and you say, well, I don't know him. And he says, I do. Give him a track. Ah, let him go to hell. I don't care. Well, I didn't really say let him go to hell, but my actions said that. Amen? Amen. How old are you? 28. Do you realize you are one heartbeat out of heaven? One, when your heart stops before your body hits the ground, you're in heaven. I don't know about you, but that's got a good sound to me. I like the idea. And it wasn't mine. It's God's idea. And what has He planned? What has He planned for every person here? How many girls and ladies do you represent? Can you be a witness to and a testimony to? And how many people have wondered, I wonder if they go to church? I didn't know you were a Christian. What is the purpose? Well, offense and defense, if you and most of the time they identify that with sports. So I'm just going to mention three. If you're playing baseball or softball, the only time you're on offense is when you've got the bat in your hands. And it's you against nine others. You're in the minority.
Right.
Amen? And the only time you're defense is when you're out in the field. And you've all got a glove on your hand. You're in a position in a particular place. And the object is for the pitcher to strike you out, or for someone to catch your ball, or to catch it and throw it to first before you get there, or perhaps to may have a double play at second or something like that. But that's the only time you participate. When somebody else has got the bat, you just sit and watch. And it's kind of like all those football games yesterday. Did you notice how full the stands were? Now, if we were having a baseball game here today, every seat would be filled. Just barely room to sit there. Let me ask you something. Can you tell the difference between a spectator and a player? Can you?
Yes.
Who gets criticized the most? The spectators or the players? We've got room in here for a few more people. And the reason we have so much room in here is because so many are spectators instead of players. Amen. For example, how many of you, your parents led you to the Lord? Raise your hand. Very few. How many of you remember the name of this? Well, let me reword that. Is the person that led you to the Lord in this room today? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, who led you to the Lord? Where are they at? Who are they? Is the person that led you to the Lord special in your mind and in your heart right now? Say amen if that's true.
Amen.
All right, here comes a spectator question. How many people are thankful that you led them to the Lord? That's offense. That's offense. How many people have you led to the Lord? How many tracts did you give away last week? Who did you invite to be in the services today? And I know somebody said, we got an old coot coming and he's been preaching for 150 years and you might want to come and hear what the old timers are. No. Today would be the best day in the life of these people to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Today would be a hallelujah day. And the Bible says that when one sinner repents, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. That means when you lead somebody to Christ, they hear about it up there. And they rejoice. How many people have you led to the Lord? How many times have you been up to bat? How many times has God said, give him a track, witness to him, invite him to church? And when the Holy Spirit does that, the Bible says, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my suggestions. Is that what he said? What word did he use? Command. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do you have to pray about keeping one of God's commandments? When God says, witness to him, we either say yes or we say no. Where do we get the authority to say no to God's commandments? And I'm not talking to the church. I'm talking to you. It doesn't matter whether your wife serves God or not. It doesn't matter whether your husband serves God or not. It doesn't matter whether your parents serve God or not. It doesn't matter whether your children serve God or not. You have not only a responsibility, but the opportunity. How many people do we know, brother, that started out great and fizzled? They're not in there. How many preachers do we know that threw their life away, threw their ministry away, threw their family away? Too many. Now they can all come back. 1 John 1:9 makes it crystal clear and plain that he'll take us back. Praise God for that. Of course, we're still going to have some scars and such as that. But God said, I want you to be a soldier. I want you to be a servant. Well, in basketball, you're offense and defense all the time. When your man's got the ball, you're on offense. When they're on the ball, you got your defense, but you're still on the field. And you know that's a whole lot the way it is in your life. You're a servant of God, faithful or not so faithful, 24/7. Can you say amen to that? If you're going to heaven, you have the opportunity to be a servant of God all the time. And one of those obligations is an opportunity. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. Train up. Now, I'm going to hit this again in the 11 o'clock hour. But let me just tell you something. There's too many families, and maybe some of them are right here. There's too many households that are run by 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids instead of mom and dad. I've heard so many parents talk to their children, and it's more of a suggestion than it is a commandment. My dad was a weekend drunk. He got drunk almost every Friday and Saturday, and then he had all day sober to Sunday up in. And he did. And my dad was a man's man. And you men know what I'm talking about, especially you wimps that let your wife run your family because you're not man enough to set the standard. My dad was unsaved. We seldom went. He never went to church. I got saved when I was 11, and I might have been in church five times in my life before. And I went to a youth camp in Bailey, Colorado, and heard the gospel for the first time. And then I got saved when I was 11 years old. I was sitting in the third pew or seat right there. And I went forward, went over on that side and got saved, came back and sat down. And the preacher was still preaching the invitation, and he said, "If you're saved," and I thought, "Yeah, I'm saved." He said, "You surrender your life to do whatever God wants you to do. If he wants you to preach, if he wants you to be a missionary, if he wants you to be a million-dollar business owner, what something." Of course, the line's pretty long behind that list. But anyway, I walked back down. I hadn't been saved 10 minutes, and I surrendered to preach with no idea what I was doing. And when I went home, it was us three boys. All three of us made professions of faith. And then I told them I surrendered to preach. And my mom and dad both just said, "We don't have any preachers. What are you talking about?" And they did not encourage me. They did not say they'd help me. As a matter of fact, they discouraged me. And it was in less than a year, I had changed my mind. I'm not going to be no preacher. And I changed my mind, but he didn't. And I could spend a lot of time telling you, from the time you're 11 and 12 years old until you're 20, you can make a lot of mistakes. You can do a lot of things wrong. And I did not serve God. I want to mention one thing. Shortly after I got saved, my dad was in Morrison, Colorado. He'd gone up to get his supply of beer, Coors beer, and Four Roses whiskey. And he came out, and they said, and his name was Lorne Percy Aldrich. And the only people that called him Percy were real close friends with a big smile on their face. But instead, they called him LPA. And a guy said, "LPA, you want to win a new Buick?" And he said, "Nah." He said, we got some tickets here at a quarter apiece, and you can win a 1948 Buick convertible. They're 25 cents apiece." And Dad said, "Here, just take these two quarters." And he said, "No, you got to take the tickets." So he took the tickets and came home, threw them in trash. Mom said, "What are that? What's that?" "Oh, tickets to win a Buick or something." And she took them out and put them up in the cabinet. And for almost 60 days, everywhere we went, everything we saw was, "When we win our Buick, we're going to sell it and we're going to buy." And we bought half of Colorado with what we were going to do with that money from that Buick. Well, Dad was a Uke Skinner on the Cherry Creek Dam. And he worked nights. And one Friday, about 11 o'clock, Mom and us three boys were all in bed, and Dad didn't come home till 1. And somebody was knocking and banging on the door. And Mom went to the door and said, "Who is it?" And he said, "Well, this is Pete Foster." He said, "Well, what do you want?" And he said, "Well, is LPA there?" And she said, "No, he's working. You know he works till 1 o'clock. He said, "Well, tell that blankety blank blank that he won the Buick." And Mom said, "How drunk are you?" And he says, "I'm drunk, but he won." Well, by then, all three of us boys are up, and the lights are on in the house, and we're jumping up and down. And Dad comes home, and he says, "What are all these lights doing on?" And Mom said, "Well, Pete Foster came by and said you won the Buick." And Dad said, "How drunk was he?" said he was drunk, but he said, I didn't win any Buick, go to bed. And we did. And the next morning, they came and they said, you ready to go pick up your Buick? And he won a 1948 Buick convertible. And listen, it had one of those radios where you just pushed a button and it changed the station. I'd never heard of such a thing. And Dad sold that Buick for $3,000 in 1948. Bought a house over in Daniel's Gardens, and there was a Baptist church there. Because all Morrison had was a Pillar of Fire church. And I still don't know what Pillar of Fire church is. But I'm here to tell you that God put us in a place where we could go. And I didn't go enough. I didn't go hardly at all. But what I'm telling you, and what I'm telling you is, God doesn't make mistakes. Oh. And what he told you yesterday still applies today. So I ask you, what's most important, defense or offense? Well, when you're playing football and you've got the ball and you throw a pass and it's intercepted, guess what? You just went to defense. Amen? Your life in this church is offense and defense. How many times has God given you an opportunity to be a blessing and you took it? Now here's a rule that will never change. Obedience always comes before blessing. Always. God does not bless disobedience. Amen. So listen. What blessings are coming today and tomorrow and the next day because of the obedience that you exhibited Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of this week? For example, somebody had a need and you invested an hour of your time and helped them and encouraged them and blessed them. How is God going to reward that? Well, there's all kinds of ways. But many times, God blesses exactly in what we invested in. Whether it be time, or maybe somebody was discouraged, and God used you to encourage them. I'm going to hit this again later. But there ever been a time when you needed encouraged? There ever been a time when something was hurting, or there was a situation you couldn't understand, or your kids were doing something that you were disappointed, or your parents, or at the job, and God blessed in a special way? Because your offense was paying off. And yet at the same time, somebody comes up and says, that's got to be the ugliest shirt I've ever seen. And they attack you. Or they say, what you're doing is stupid. Nobody's interested in going down to that Bible Baptist church. Good night, they use the King James Bible. They don't use the non-inspired version like we do, the NIV. And they attack you. and you go on defense. And you can get mad. You can make a fool of yourself. Or you can act like a Christian. And that choice is yours. And I'm guarantee you, after they've insulted you or made fun of you or whatever it is, the Holy Spirit gave you leadership. Every single one of you. On defense. Because somebody just threw the ball and or carried the ball, and just before they got tackled, they fumbled the ball, and all of a sudden you're on defense instead of offense. How many people are watching you and you don't even know it? I heard a story about on a Thursday afternoon, a neighbor, two people were in the backyard and over the fence, and one says, "What happened to you last night? What happened to you last night? What do you mean?" He said, "Well, at 6:45, you didn't leave to go to church. Is something wrong?" And he says, "You know when we go to church?" He says, "Yeah, we watch every Sunday, and we watch every Thursday or Wednesday night when we watch, see what you're doing. And I'm here to tell you, you have no idea who's watching you. And you're on offense. So I'm here to tell you, thou." What time is it? 5 minutes? Oh, you people listen slow, don't you? Ew. Well, let me just mention this real fast. Here's my notes. Yeah. Skip down to there. Offense or defense? Number one, your relationship with God. Are you doing what He tells you to do? Are you enjoying serving God? You have a relationship because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They know you by name. They know your fingerprint. They know everything about you. So your first obligation is to God the Father. Amen? Amen. The second obligation is your spouse. God said, the man is to be the head of the house. The man that is not leading his family is a deserter. The man who is not leading his family as such is asking for trouble. How many of you, your kids came up and said, "Are we going to go to church this Sunday?" Or is your family one of those, "We always go to church"? Amen. Yeah. We don't miss. How about this question? What's your name? What's your name?
Alan.
Who?
Alan.
Alan. What about these kids over here? They go to church regular, and they say, "Well, you know, Brother Allen, he's a Sunday school teacher, but he didn't go to church Sunday night and Wednesday night, but about half of the time. I wonder why." That's a pretty legitimate question, isn't it? Especially since the Bible says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, and as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That means that God expects you to be in every time the doors are open. And I don't know you from Adam's house cat right now, but I do know this. I know God wants you to be a blessing to her and them and those people. Yeah, and all these girls, they need all the help they can get. Amen. What kind of testimony do you have with your family? And then your children. Do your children know that you're a tither? Do your children hear you pray every meal? If that's the president, tell him we're busy. Oh, that's the... Am I through?
Yes.
Just a second.
I'm afraid to say.
Yeah. All right. You are to lead your children. And then you are to lead in your ministry at Bible Baptist Church. And then you can lead on your job. And I'm doing it in order of significance. Because when your children serve God, let me tell you, it's a blessing. It's a thrill. Our kids, well, three of our four kids serve God better than we did when we were kids. So let me just close with this thought. What's more important, offense or defense? Yes. Amen. Because you're going to be attacked before the sun goes down tonight. You're going to have an opportunity to turn your back on the things of God. What are you going to do? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time of Sunday school. Give us wisdom. Follow your leadership. In Jesus' name, amen.